Well, if you would, take your Bibles and begin to open them up into the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles. And if you would, if you're able, please stand for the public reading of God's Word, 1 Chronicles in chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and we're going to read from verse 9 through the end of the chapter. 1 Chronicles 28, verses 9 through 21. This being God's word. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave Solomon, his son, the plan of the vestibule of the temple and of its houses, its treasuries, its upper rooms and its inner chambers, and of the room for the mercy seat, and the plan for all or of all that he had in mind for the courts of the house of the Lord, all the surrounding chambers, the treasuries of the house of God, and the treasuries for dedicated gifts, for the divisions of the priests and of the Levites, and all the work of the service in the house of the Lord, for all the vessels for the service in the house of the Lord, the weight of gold for all golden vessels for each service, the weight of silver vessels for each service, the weight of the golden lampstands and their lamps, the weight of gold for each lampstand and its lamps, the weight of silver for a lampstand and its lamps, according to the use of each lampstand in the service, the weight of gold for each table for the showbread, the silver for the silver tables, and pure gold for the forks, the basins and the cups, for the golden bowls and the weight of each, for the silver bowls and the weight of each, for the altar of incense made of refined gold and its weight. Also his plan for the golden chariot of the cherubim that spread their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this he made clear to me in writing from the hand of the Lord, all the work to be done according to the plan. Then David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. And behold, the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God, and with you in all the work will be every willing man who has skill for any kind of service, also the officers and all the people will be holy at your command." Our Father, as we meditate upon your perfect word today, I do pray that overall we would be encouraged, not just the graduates, but each one of us, as we gather together, may we hear words of encouragement to be about your service. I pray, Father, that you would perhaps even challenge and convict the lazy of us, not to be of those who sit around and watch others to do, but to take everything that you have given to us and to have eyes fixed upon you and to live out our lives with your purpose and plans and provisions. Oh Lord, you have saved us and you seek to use us. And so, Father, this morning in this passage, from Father to Son, would you also speak to us, our Heavenly Father, to we your children. And we are so through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And please be seated. So it is right for me to, as the pastor of the church, give a charge to these individuals who are entering into a new chapter of their lives. Don't worry, Rebecca, this is not a sermon just for you. In fact, I feel a little bit funny preaching this sermon. But she's a member of the flock, as is the rest, are the rest of you other nine. But this is not a new season only for the graduates. It's a new season for parents. Some just releasing their first child, and this is a whole new experience. And what are we to do? Some, like us, are releasing, as far as we know, our last child. And that's a whole new experience. And how should the Lord lead us, and how should we follow Him? Some of us have made it through a week. And tomorrow is a whole new season for us, in which the Lord will seek to use us and purposes us to glorify and magnify His name. How may we follow after the Lord as He is our shepherd, leading us and guiding us? Well, I hope that at the end of the sermon you'll have some idea as we eavesdrop into this momentous encounter with David and Solomon, as all of Israel is gathered together, as David in his very elderly years, he's just a little while away from earthly death. And even in his feebleness, the chronicler acknowledges that David was able to get up in the moment and to address and to speak with fervor and vigor as the Lord's unfolding plan excites him. And he gives words to all of Israel. But then he turns a bit more particularly and tenderly to his child. With the words of a charge that are not about David's family name. In fact, there's a parental lesson to be learned here. David does not call Solomon to do what he's going to do for David's name, but for the Lord. Parents, don't short sell the purpose of your children only to honor your family name. Purpose them to honor the Lord. The family name stuff will take care of itself. Focus your children upon the Lord, as David focuses Solomon in this somber and ceremonial moment. He calls him to focus upon the Lord. So this morning, as we're looking at this passage, I want us to recognize Solomon's assignment as given to him by David, and then Solomon's assurance. And by that, look at our own assignment and our own assurance before the Lord. This morning, as we begin with Solomon's assignment, we see that it's twofold. There's an assignment regarding the Lord and an assignment regarding himself. And so let's begin by looking at Solomon's assignments regarding the Lord. And in verse 9, his first charge, his first assignment is to know the Lord. Know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. This word to know is a legal recognition of a particular sovereign. It was a word that was used in political treaties to acknowledge that a certain sovereign existed, but not to simply say, I know that he is. The word to know means not only to know that he is, but to yield to who he is. And so David, at the very beginning of his charge, focuses his son upon the Lord, upon the God of your father, that he might recognize that God is, and that at the very beginning of the charge, Solomon yield himself to the authority of God in all that's about to transpire. For you graduates, and for you Christians, as a new week unfolds, as a graduates, as you've probably heard ad nauseum, as a new chapter of your life unfolds, a new season unfolds, begin with this. Know the God of your father, the God of your mother. And I can say this particularly in this class. I've had gospel conversations with all of you. Some of you I have baptized. All of you have at some point in your life acknowledged the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the God of your family and of yourself. Know and continue to yield to this God. Deuteronomy 4:35, to you it was shown that you might know that the Lord is God. There is no other besides Him. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We're not speaking of some vanilla, generic, bland God that can fit all religions. This morning you are tasked to know the God who has revealed Himself generally in creation, specifically in His written Word, and personally in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the God that we worship. This is the God we want you to continue to acknowledge and yield to under His authority from this moment on. This is one of the reasons why, parents, I say, don't focus your children on you. Because one day, either they will move away or you'll die. That's just the way life works. Either you'll move away, or they'll move away, or you'll die, and then who's their authority? Who is the one who's to guide them and to lead them? It is to be the Lord, first and foremost, always. You who have known and acknowledged the Creator in the days of your youth, think Ecclesiastes chapter 12, continue to know and to yield to Him in the days ahead. So this is the first part of David's charge to Solomon, the Lord's charge to us, to know Him, to yield to Him. And then David says that we are to serve, or that Solomon is to serve the Lord. Notice here again in verse 9, to know the God of your father and serve Him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. And I was tickled, if that's the right word, as I was listening to Dr. Bryant earlier this morning in the adult and the youth Sunday school time, say that, let me make sure I get this right, that service usually comes about, serving as a result, I think this is what she said, Michael, serving is a result of getting to know someone. Which is exactly what David is saying here in this verse. Know the Lord and then serve Him. As we come to know the Lord better, we are filled with more awe, more wonder. We want to express how awesome it is that we are in relationship with Him. And so we express that through service to Him. Know the God of your Father and serve Him. So, Solomon, it's not enough for you simply to squirrel away in your own palace and read the Old Testament Scriptures until your head busts. With all that knowledge of who God is, it should motivate you to serve, to be active in His name for His glory, and serve Him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. The Lord does not receive any glory by begrudging service. But He is honored with a willing mind and a whole heart. Does not Jesus also say this, to love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength? Those of us who have said that we know God and that we yield to Him, we are to serve Him wholeheartedly. Not one foot in His kingdom and one foot in the kingdom of this world, but wholeheartedly, wanting to serve Him in some form or fashion. Now, Solomon has a very specific task. He's to build the temple according to the plans that God gave through David. In a sense, this is also our task. not to build an earthly temple. That was destroyed in 70 AD. But we are still called as the body of Christ, the temple of the living God. And so each one of us, graduate or not, each one of us claiming that we know this God and serve Him, are to build this temple. We might do it in our own corner of Monk's Corner or Ladson or Hanahan or Somerville. The Lord might yet call some of us in this very room to join Amy across the waters. This is our overall call to continue to build the eternal temple of God, soul by soul. Serve Him. You may do this through political science. We need godly men and women leading us in the political realm. You may do so in the field of medical science and biology. We need Christians who are there at the forefront of medical ethics and medical compassion. Did you read the article already this past week in England, where the senior citizens of England are complaining that they're being pushed to the side so that medical resources can be given to the young? Christians would say, no, we honor our elders and take care of all, regardless of age. You can honor the Lord and serve Him in whatever field of study you go to. Whatever field or career you're already in, the Lord desires and has gifted you to serve Him in those areas. You're not just cutting trees for power lines, but you're doing it in the hopes, John, that the Lord's name may be honored. Or working for BP or for Santee Cooper and other means. You're not even just teaching at a Christian school to teach, but as a means of honoring the Lord and serving Him and making Him known. Even in your retirement years, your career may be done, but your calling is not. Serve the Lord to build His temple. With a whole heart and a willing mind. Today, we are recognizing a bit of a milestone for particular individuals. And again, I will say, especially for those of you whom I've had the privilege of baptizing and hearing with your own words an acknowledgement, it's your desire from this day forward. It's regularly what we say in the waters, from this day forward to serve the Lord. Well, maybe this will be a new season for you. A new season of affirming. It's still my desire. As I come home from college, or I go away to work from college, or I'm going to college, that my aim is to serve. And it would be best for you to do so as you seek out the Lord daily. And this brings us to the third command that David gives to his son. If you seek Him, or while you are seeking Him. And the sense of the verb is a continual seeking. My daughter has said that creative writing at the moment, the area of English, is what she believes that the Lord would have her to best honor Him through. Well, I'm going to encourage you, continue to seek the Lord. That may be your best understanding, but He has a way of changing our route sometimes. Continue to seek after the Lord, or how He might take that and sharpen it yet still. For all of us, we might get up, and we sort of laugh about Amy and her changed schedule as she goes to the mission field, but, you know, Amy's not the only one that struggles with that. And to wake up on a Monday morning and to be able to say, Lord, it's Your day. It's Your schedule. I've got some things I think You want me to do, but whatever You write over my schedule, may I do it with gladness as I serve You. Let me seek Him, regularly finding time to look upon Him in His Word, to pray with Him, to call out to Him, to seek His face. Because word promises that all who seek Him shall be found by Him. To seek the Lord's face is to mean that I'm placing my attention upon Him at all times and not my attention upon myself or upon others. I can seek others' happiness, but that's not the same thing as seeking the Lord. I can seek advice from other books, and they may be good, but they may not be the same as seeking the Lord Himself. Lord, today I have known You. I yield to You. My life is not my own. I serve You, and I want to keep my face directed to You each and every day that I may know how best to do that. That is David's charge. Yes, David's charge to Solomon, as he hands over the plans to him to be Godward in his service and in his life. It's my encouragement to us as a congregation: know and yield to the Lord. Serve the Lord in whatever fashion He equips you. And let us all individually and corporately continue to seek after Him. Wasn't that part of the verses last week in the Sermon on the Mount? Seek ye first. Not the degree. Not approval of men. Not the money job. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Well, so David gives to Solomon a charge regarding the Lord. Know, serve, seek. But he also gives him a charge regarding himself, about Solomon, about his own life. And so let's look at this very quickly. We see that David tells his son to be watchful verse 10. Be careful now. Be guarded. Be watchful. Take care regarding your own life, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. It is to be determined. It is to be intentional. It is to guard myself, not to wander to the left or to the right, but to stay on the path for which God has called me, to be watchful. Paul would use the same word or the same idea in Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. In Titus 3:8, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people, specifically the people of God. Solomon, as you've given this task, be on guard, be careful to stay with the purpose. Now, in all honesty, Solomon wasn't. And we're thankful, as we read the book of Ecclesiastes, that before the end of his life, he realized his error. Remember, Solomon had become distracted with the building of his own palace, with the amassing of wealth and goods around him. Solomon did not keep before him the singular task, focus that he had to build the house of God and make much of Him alone. There is hope if you, even today, knowing the purpose of God for your life, if you have wandered a bit, hear the words of the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes: come back to the Lord and be focused upon Him. And then he says also to be strong. To be strong. There in verse 10, be strong and do it. Now this word to be strong is not, he's not telling him to be something he's not, but to do something he can do for himself. It is be strengthened. Do those things that strengthen you for this task. Solomon, you know to worship the Lord. Worship Him then. You know to read His Word. Then read His Word. You know to obey Him. Obey Him in what His Word has said. Solomon, you know the things that are available to you. Avail yourselves of them. It'd be like, if I were to disobey what David is saying here, it'd be like me buying a set of weights or a treadmill and bringing it into the house. And I know the weights are there. And I know the treadmill's there. But knowing that those things are nearby and available, but not availing myself to use them, doesn't do me any good. Is simply having a set of weights in the house going to make my biceps bigger? No, not unless I pick them up, right? Unless you found some way that I haven't about having these kinds of things in the house and doing some good. Likewise, believer, Solomon, strengthen yourself in those things that are going to help you in the case of following the Lord's plan for your life. You have a responsibility, even as the Lord is giving you strength. It is the Lord, Philippians 2, I think it's 13 and 14, it is the Lord who works and wills in us that we might will and work for the Lord. But we ourselves are to strengthen ourselves to become stronger in the Lord, to then, number six there, be diligent. We are to be watchful. He called Solomon to be watchful, to be strong, and to be diligent. Okay, Solomon, you know what it is that the Lord has called you to do, and you know the things that will help you to do them and to remain focused and to serve Him. Now do it. That's the last of it. Solomon, do not be lazy. Be diligent. Actually do those things in the manner in which you have been gifted to serve the Lord. And so likewise for us. Some of us have been gifted in teaching. Then find some form or fashion to teach. Some of us have been gifted in the areas of hospitality. Then be hospitable. Some of you have been gifted in the means of encouragement. Then go encourage somebody. Some of you have been gifted in the means of helps. Go help somebody. And it doesn't necessarily have to happen through this body. Go in the ways that God has gifted you. And serve Him for His honor and for His glory. So this is Solomon's assignment. Regarding the Lord, to know, to serve, to seek. Regarding himself, to be watchful, careful, intentional, ever mindful of his own actions and heart and mind in the direction that he's supposed to be going. Be strong, or rather, strengthen yourself in the Word, on your knees in prayer. And then do what the Lord has called you to do. Now, David, in giving this charge to Solomon, gives him four assurances. Okay, I've given you these commands, but let me give you four assurances as we're moving through this as well. I'm not just going to dump commands, but I'm also going to dump some encouragements or give you some encouragements as well. And the first encouragement might seem a bit harsh, but let us remember the mindfulness of the Lord. The mindfulness of the Lord, or the watchfulness of the Lord in verse 9. That he says to him, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. Now we can read this in one of two ways. We can read this with a spirit of fearfulness. The Lord is watching me so that at my first mistake, he's going to shoot me down. At my first mistake, at my first hiccup of serving Him, He's going to crush me. No, that is not the God of the covenants that we know in the Scriptures. He watches us in order to help us. Yes, He does discern our thoughts, and yes, He does discipline us if we begin to walk out of the way. But even that is, according to Hebrews 12, as a father disciplines a child in love to bring the child back to himself. The Lord searches our hearts as a means of being a help to us. of an encouragement to us. Understand the mindfulness, the watchfulness of the Lord. David wrestled with this in Psalm 139:2, where he's in that great psalm and he says, "You know when I sit down, when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar." There's a sense in which David feels at first that he can't ever get away from the eyes of God. But by the end of the psalm, there's an assurance, "I am never away. I'm never away from the sight of my God." Solomon, as you have this task, the Lord watches over you. Be encouraged. And then not only that, is the awareness of the watchfulness of God. So, let me just pause there. So as we go out, this is a concern. This might would be good for us to ponder. As we go out tomorrow, whether we are a graduate going to our first year of college, if we're a graduate going to our first day on the job, if we are just, we made it through this week and tomorrow's a new season because each morning the Lord's mercies are new every day and great is His faithfulness. So tomorrow, how are we going to serve Him? With fearfulness that He's watching for our first misstep? Or gratefulness and assurance that as I go out to honor His name, my Heavenly Father is watching over and out for me? Let it be the latter that motivates us in our service. And then David seeks to encourage Solomon, not only by the mindfulness, the watchfulness of the Lord, but of the election of the Lord, the calling of the Lord. Now verse 10, the choosing of the Lord. "Be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you." What an encouragement. This was not just David's idea that Solomon should do this, or this wasn't Solomon's idea that he should do this. This was the Lord's idea that he should be doing this. Good firm standing on that ground that he should be about this business. And my encouragement to you as believers in Christ, find those areas that God has called you to and walk in them confidently. He has called you, says the Scriptures, out of darkness and into light, and called you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. I can't tell any of you that are graduates or those of you who are moving on specifically for your college degree. Well, what is the Lord's specific will for me to get a degree? Is it business? Is it medicine? I can't tell you this. This I can tell you. The Lord's will is that you should love Him, enjoy Him, serve Him gladly. Now go for it. Well, that's not specific enough for me. Tackle that and you'll find it specific enough. We can serve the Lord in many ways. Many ways. It might be for you to have your own business. It might be to work for somebody else. But you can still love the Lord, honor the Lord, serve the Lord with all your heart as you do so. It might be in the arts, where you have all kinds of creativity. And Christians who question the arts, remember, the most artistic being in the universe is God. Can I give you just one example? Green. Yes, green. Well, we just went through painting one of the rooms in our house. Do you know how many shades of green there are? If it were up to me, because this is the way that I'm built, where's Dylan? I'm the accountant, right? I'm the finance major. I like nice columns, straight, you know, just one or two choices, you know, no, not too much going outside the bounds. If it were up to me, you'd have one green. That's it. This is what we have. Kind of like the first cars that Ford put out. You can have any car you want, any color you want, as long as it's black. That would be me. But not God. He is a creative God. And you can be as creative as you want to be, but honor the Lord. Because there's a lot of creative people who don't honor the Lord. And the voice of the Lord needs to be heard in the arts. And you can honor the Lord in your accounting, in your columnar pads, in your Excel spreadsheets, and rigid credits and debits. Oh, there's a wide, vast field. But honor Him knowing that He's called you to honor Him. That's what your calling in life is. Build it up. Build up His temple. Maybe with new souls, with the encouraging of old souls. That is your calling. As Solomon knew what to do, you know what to do. Build up His temple. The third assurance or encouragement that David gives to Solomon is found over here in verse 20. Be strong and courageous and do it. And here's what he says. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, is with you. And if God is with you, who can be against you? Go tackle that dream you have for God, knowing that God is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. And the work of the eternal temple of God will not be finished until Christ comes again. So for the remainder of our days, let us be aware that the Lord is with us and for us and will not leave us or forsake us as we have our faces continually seeking after Him. And then fourth, David encourages or gives some assurances for Solomon's assignment. He gives him the assurance of the provisions of the Lord. And the first provision that the Lord gives to Solomon through his father David are the written plans. Solomon didn't have to come up with anything new in order to how to follow the Lord. The Lord had already written out by His own hand, says David, the blueprint, the schematic for the temple. Here's how much everything weighs. Here's the dimensions of the rooms. Don't deviate from the written plan. Here you go. Well, to all of us, to graduates, and to all of us, the Lord has written His plan for us. Stick with it. We don't have to come up with new ideas or new things to build His temple, or to live for Him, to serve Him, to know Him, to honor Him. Let's stick with the written plan. And then there's a willing people. Notice here in verse 21, to Solomon, he reminds him, you're not alone. And behold the divisions of the priests. And how gracious of God. Solomon's not having to build this temple all by himself. He's got divisions of priests at his disposal. And the Levites for all the service of the house of God and with you in all the work will be every willing man who is skilled for any kind of service. Also the officers and all the people will be holy at your command. Hey, Solomon, you're not in this alone. Dear believer, we were not built to know and serve and seek the Lord, to be watchful over our own lives, to be strong and to do the work of the Lord. We were not made to do that alone. Just as Solomon was placed in the midst of a people to work to honor the Lord, dear Christian, so God has placed you in the midst of a people that we might help each other to know and serve and seek. Solomon desperately needed the help of these people if he was going to see through God's plan for his life. Friends, we desperately need one another. No just mere shoulder rubbing is going to cut it. we need to cry out on behalf of the Lord for one another. We need to know how to hold one another up before the Lord. We need to know how to encourage each other according to the Word of God. We are called to open our hearts one to another. Dear graduates, those of you who are specifically going away from home for the first time, and you're not going to be able to attend here, let me give you this pastoral advice. Find a church body that loves the Lord, that loves His Word, and shows a spirit of loving one another, and plant yourselves there. If I can give you any strong encouragement, don't go from church to church to church to church to church to church in your college years. You do that and nobody knows you. Nobody can help you. Nobody can build you up and encourage you. Find a church body. Plant yourself. Serve the Lord there in that group. And church body, those of us who remain behind, or those of us who are receiving home, those who've gone to college and are coming back, guess what? They need us. And it's not incumbent upon them to wait upon them to come to us and say, I need you. Those college graduates who have come home, it's time for us to go and envelop them. You're wanted. You're needed. And even those college graduates, those high school graduates who are going away, they need us still. Even though we might be 100 or 200, 2 or 3 hours away, they still need us. And this is a challenge for us as a body. And I'm wanting to speak tenderly and yet frankly. Some years in some classes, we've done the coming around fairly well. And some years in some classes, we haven't. Let's affirm today our calling to be mindful and helpful of all the sheep that might be away, that we might encourage them. I'm so very thankful that this year particularly there has been a renewed interest in reaching out to our college students away. That began with Harriet, and I want to acknowledge good when it's done. So I'm thankful for that. And recently the OWLS group has also had it on their hearts to make sure to communicate to our students away. I want to say well done, and more need to engage. Solomon is given these four assurances. The Lord is watching over you. The Lord has called you. The Lord is faithful and will not leave you. And you are not alone within the body of the people of God that He has given you. Now, whether you're a graduate or not, as we all face walking out these doors, God calls us to know Him and serve Him and seek Him, to be watchful, to be strong in strengthening ourselves, to do the work that He's called us to do. Let us be encouraged that as we go out tomorrow, as we go out this afternoon, the Lord is also watching us, is faithful to us, has called us, and will not abandon those that He has called into His service. And He has provided for us His Word and each other. Let us build His temple. Father, it would be easy to sort of read this story as an historic moment between a father and a son, and then to leave it there. But Lord, such attention given to one who is going to build a temple that would be destroyed. How much more should we be encouraged that You are vested in helping us and strengthening us and assuring us and encouraging us as we build the temple, the body of Christ that shall last for eternity. You have provided for us Your Holy Spirit. You have provided for us Your Holy Word. You provided for us Your holy people. You've given us clear directives in terms of making You known among the nations and the neighborhoods. Father, would You help us to be strong and courageous? Lord, would you help us maybe in the simple issue of simply seeking your face? It's so easy to seek my face, my wants, my needs. It's so easy to seek the faces, the smiling faces of those around us. Oh, may we seek your face. We thank you that you have called us in your grace and mercy, not only away from the judgment due our wrath, but you have called us to your kingdom's service. And so while we have days left on this earth, may we with whole hearts, willing minds, serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.